Record-breaking heat around the world has thrown so much into chaos. A fire inferno that would have turned Dante himself into a melted puddle of sweat and suffering. This isn't normal, though I fear it might become normal. So what did you do to escape the weekend's heat? Certainly, I bet you did not spend much time outside in the hell on earth that we're calling summer 2026. I spent the better part of the day yesterday inside the house, cleaning just enough to feel productive, but sitting down before the heat and the humidity claimed me even inside our safe haven. Just enough not to feel useless, but not enough to feel wasted. Heat like this makes it impossible to live, makes it impossible to truly live. Think of how much time you've spent over the past week and over the past few days alone complaining about the heat, wishing it was just a little bit cooler, changing and altering your plans, wishing you could catch your breath, wishing you weren't dripping with sweat or didn't have a river running down your brow, wishing for just the tiniest bit of relief so that you could enjoy this weekend, right? The weekend that has come to represent so much of the classic American summer. And when we feel all of this, when we are overcome by something, in this case, this heat, this horror, when we're overcome by it, we seek the comforts of the inside. We seek the solace of safe spaces with conditioned air and ice cubes aplenty. We try to find every way we can to resist melting. And maybe that's even what brought you here this morning. The promise of something a bit cooler than where you left. Maybe you came here hoping to find a place to relax. Those who came to the early service got there early so they could beat the heat, and I'm surprised it's honestly still as cool in here as it is. If you've come here this morning, though, so that you wouldn't melt, then you've come to the wrong place. Because there is a kind of heat in here, friends. It's a heat of a different sort. There is something that will press itself upon you. Something that reduces us and changes us and reconstitutes us and makes us move from one state of matter to the other, or more accurately, makes us move from one state of glory to another. There is something which confronts us today like the heat and melts us down, but it won't leave us as a puddle. It'll make us into something more. This morning, you have not come just to church. You have not come just with friends and family. You are here encountering the living God. Yes, it's church, and yes, our friends and family are here, but something deeper has called out to you this morning. As you approached the holy place, didn't you feel it? Your heart strangely warmed by the anticipation that your life was going to change? Did you not feel that anticipation within as you pondered meeting the source and summit of all creation, the beating heart of the universe? Look, I work for the guy, and I don't always think that on Sunday mornings. But friends, here we are. Right here, in a place where we will indeed meet such a God. In the simplicity of Holy Communion. And it is that God's burden, a burden that we are called to embrace, though it is a burden and a yoke of a different sort. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. The strange juxtaposition of this passage and this weekend is not lost on me. A weekend in which we celebrate our independence and our freedom. A weekend in which we have celebrated this nation's story, a story that says no one else shall write our own story but ourselves. A story that suggests nobody else is the captain of our fate, but ourselves. On this weekend, on this particular weekend, we have received this particular text a text of burden, of weight, a text that tells us we really and truly do not live for ourselves, a text that tells us we don't have the kind of freedom that we think we do, a text that tells us to live most fully, to be most fully alive is to live a life no longer for ourselves, but for something, for someone else. To be most fully alive then is to be burdened by the glorious burden of Jesus Christ. And it is this burden, this heat, this light that changes us, that melts us down, and reconstitutes us into something new. See, we've sought the safety of this place today, and it is indeed safe. It's safe because it provides a safe haven for those lost, adrift on a sea of their own insecurities, tossed about by the waves of a cruel and uncaring world. It's safe in here for everyone who has been harmed by anything, by anybody, but especially by people who claim the name of Jesus Christ and yet offer nothing more than sickness and sadness. It is safe in here. Yes, but inside the safety of this place, a place where everyone is welcome, a place where everybody is invited to take their seat, to claim it, and to rest, inside this safety, in this sitting, and in this rest, comes to you the spark and flame of the divine, inviting you to embrace another way of being human. A way of being human that looks to your left and to your right and sees not an enemy nor a stranger, but a friend and a family member. Who looks to your left and right and can see past flag and citizenship and embrace whoever meets your gaze. It's a burden. It's a weight that presses itself upon us like coal being crushed into the dazzling beauty of a diamond by pressure and heat. We become something different when we allow ourselves to be overcome by this light and easy burden. Look, even St. Paul himself wasn't able to fully break free of a vicious cycle that kept him bound by desire and sinful impulses. It seems that there were parts of Paul's life that he just did not allow to melt before the holy flame of God. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in Paul's good company. I want to choose the right thing. I want to be led by grace and mercy. I want to set aside the things that hold me back from offering myself completely to God, the God who I claim my heart adores so much. I want to be of service in a world addicted to self-interest masked as freedom. So will we stand in Jesus' wake and take up the work that he set about doing? Will we take upon ourselves afresh and anew right now in this sacred moment the burden of discipleship, the yoke of Jesus Christ, which tells us that our freedom belongs to another? It's in service of another. Do we dare to stand before God right now, the goodness of God, the God of love, and allow ourselves to be melted down, allow ourselves to be remade into something different, not just the human being who walked in here, but someone who transcends our own limitations to leave here and be greater than our sinful impulses, to find the better angels of our nature? To be more, to be different, to be changed. In the words of my dear friends in 12-step spirituality, let it begin with me. My friends, I hope that is your prayer today. That as you approach this altar, you know that you are meeting the living God who has called you into holy service. You and all your particularities and peculiarities and all the reasons why you think you might be discounted from holy service, none of that matters. You are invited in to change the world. Let it begin with me. Amen.